Hello, and welcome to Turning Data into Dollars, where we ask industry experts to share insights into how to best use your most valuable asset, your data. With an abundance of disparate data sources from social media, email, purchase, digital marketing, research, and more, we help you connect the dots to develop customer engagement strategies that drive sales. Why should you care or listen to us? The reason is simple. At IntiQ, we know what it takes to influence consumer behavior and create evangelists for your brand. We focused our entire business on it. Now, let's get to the show. I'm Nicole DeBolt, Marketing Director at IntiQ, and your host for today's podcast. Jason Sisley is back on the podcast today. He previously joined us to discuss email marketing amidst COVID-19, and he's back today to continue the conversation on advanced email strategy. Jason is the founder of Den Aviary, a digital marketing agency recently acquired by IntiQ. I speak for the entire IntiQ team when I say that we're thrilled to have Jason on board and excited about the enhanced email marketing capabilities Jason and his team have brought to the table. Welcome, Jason, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Nicole. Happy to be here.
So today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into advanced email marketing strategy. I know that you've been doing this for several years. Can you give us just a little bit of your background for those who may not have listened to the last podcast?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, so my career has really sort of spanned the full spectrum of email marketing. So I kind of started my career just with coding emails and migrating emails from one platform to the next, and then over the last 20 or some odd years, have moved into operations roles within email marketing. So managing more of the strategy and deliverability and kind of overseeing all facets of email marketing. And then started Den Aviary as a full service email marketing agency, and was fine to keep my focus there since we had other more skilled individuals to do the development work and the creative work and even some of the deliverability. So that's what I bring with me today is a fairly long career within communication strategy in general, but really, really focused very specifically on email marketing.
That's great. So in terms of email marketing, so why should a client even consider advancing their email marketing strategy or an email marketing strategy in general? I figure we'll start from the very beginning.
Yeah, sure. So you know, a couple of main reasons that I can give here are, you know, I just look at it from the perspective that typically email marketing is, you know, at any organization, or at least the ones that I've had the most experience with, and even with some of our clients, those are generally pretty small, nimble teams that have a lot of things that they have to focus on. So you've obviously got, you know, all of the data aspects of email. You've got the strategic side of it, of sort of figuring out when and why and what goes out to your customers. And then you've got, you know, the creative, and you've got deliverability, and you've got some of the analysis work. So there's a lot of different hats that email marketers have to wear. And really, I think of developing a strategy as something that is, it makes it a lot easier for you in the long run, because if you've got a well thought out strategy, you're simply over time optimizing on those individual messages versus always trying to come up with a new way to do just about everything. And then on the other end of that too, is it's really better for your customers. So I've always thought, and we've measured successfully this point, that, you know, customers do much better or stay more engaged with your brand when you're consistent within your email program. And creating strategies around that based on what the data is telling you and your customer engagement and what they're looking for from you, again, just allows you to create these work streams that are intended to ultimately serve different problems. And that's the way that I always look at developing strategy, is you're solving problems. So if you think of your welcome work stream as an opportunity to educate your customers, you can then focus on an education specific message within that welcome stream. And then you've got your retention emails, you know, as its own strategy. And then you've got your re-engagement programs and so on. So having those individual silos of messaging that does work together when customers maybe fall out of retention and go into re-engagement, or when you have new customers, it allows you to really focus very specifically on the point of that particular series of emails. So that's how I think of strategy, is is really focusing on solving problems along the way. And it just makes it a lot easier for you to wrap your head around a small work stream versus the entire program.
You mentioned that email marketers can wear many, many hats. And then you also mentioned about testing and kind of the science of email. And that reminds me of a few things that I've read where individuals have stated that creating the perfect email can be considered a mixture of art and science. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, this is one that's exciting for me because I actually have a background in science. So, you know, the one of my favorite things about email marketing in general is just the real-time stats that come back. So, you know, a customer opens the email, clicks on the email, converts on the email. You get that information back right away, but you'll also get back the unsubscribe, the more unsavory things like bounces and unsubscribe data. And then even when you get into some of the analysis around deliverability and really measuring the impact, you know, of your program and its ability to get into the inbox, I think that inherently, you know, gives you a really good basis for developing a more scientific program. And when you can get into certainly more of the scientific side of it, and we'll talk a little bit about neuroanalysis later, but it's just great because even at its basic, most basic function, those real-time statistics coming back to you give you the ability to try new things right away. So, you know, within testing, you know, there's an opportunity to learn nearly immediately. You can make changes almost in stream on certain email service providers so that if something's just not working, you can change it up and resolve that problem very quickly. So that's the exciting part for me, is that whatever you do, it's going to be very clear almost immediately whether it's working or not. And it's up to you to make those changes that, you know, are going to optimize the program, make it serve your customers in the way that you really intended to in the first place. But then just the idea of testing with either random samples or with samples of data that are you know, based on customer attributes. You know, so the great thing about it is when you get some of your results back from your initial campaign sends, to try to solve some of the issues that you're creating, you can do A/B testing, you can do multivariate testing with either your full audience or subsets of your audience based on customer profiles. So I just think it's a really good opportunity to kind of put that scientific hat on and try some new things with your customers that maybe aren't going to influence the entire program, but you're going to gain a lot of knowledge about influencing, you know, just even small subsets of your customers that you can apply across the board.
Yes. So you mentioned using this real-time data. Do you have any examples of how you've used real-time data in the past to deliver messages that might be more personal or more relevant or more emotional? We'll talk a little bit more about personalization in a minute in general, but I wanted to ask you about the use of that real-time data in that situation.
Sure. Yeah. And this is actually probably a fairly basic one, but it's a good one because it can, you know, a lot of different companies can employ this sort of technique. So we had a customer that was a daily deal site, and they had a lot of products on their site. And one of the things that we really were striving to do is be very personal with the products that we were putting in front of them. So instead of using, because we already had campaigns that would look at things that a customer has purchased and what other items have they looked at in the past and making those recommendations, that's sort of the Amazon approach. But what we decided to do with this particular campaign was use real-time stats in that we would randomly display products that are products that everybody would see within this particular set of emails. So these were products where there was a limited inventory. We didn't really have the ability to go out with that product to everybody because there was the potential that that product could actually not be available after the first send of emails. So what we were doing in that particular case is we were randomizing the position of different products within the email, and it would go out to like 10% of the customers. And then what we would do nearly immediately is measure which products were getting more attention than others. And then for the greater 90% that went out, and this would really only happen within 30 minutes later, we would then position those items based on the propensity that they were going to be clicked or purchased. So basically we would take that real-time information back about the products that are being clicked on and the interest level, and then we would reorder the products within the email for the larger base of audience. And that would also give us the ability at that time to figure out what the inventory is. So obviously that took a little more because we had to tie into the inventory system and understand how many more are there available. And then we could limit the number of emails that that product would display to. But using that real-time information and reordering those products in real time or near real time is what really, really took that campaign to the next level. And we saw some great results with it.
That's exciting. So did you end up grouping the interest level down to the individual level, or did you just gain interest in general and then reorder it to everybody, or were there different segments within that campaign?
Well, that was actually an approach for optimization at a later point. So essentially when we first implemented this program, the intention was just to see if we could understand a little more about product interest in general across the full base of this company's customers. But then at a later point, this is sort of the important part of getting into email strategy and really, really focusing on just constant optimization of your programs. Because at a later point, what we started to do when we would get into those inventory issues is we'd start to marry that real-time data with customer segmentation attributes that we had. So if we knew that this type of customer was more likely to click on these products from the email, well, those would be the top products in the email for other like customers. Mm-hmm. And that gave us the great ability to optimize that program that was already really successful. But the goal always is continue to optimize, continue to improve, and continue to better service your customers. And that was exactly how we continued to optimize on that program.
That's a great point. You mentioned something to me, I believe it was on the last podcast or another time when we talked. You told me that, you know, a 30% open rate is awesome for an email and marketers get excited about it, but you positioned it as what happens to the other 70%. So I like that approach of saying, you know, we're going to continually optimize this because 70% of the people didn't even see your email. So what about those people? So that's
right.
I like that approach.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's really important. And, you know, especially for the strategist, you know, or when you have your strategy hat on for that moment of each day or that day of the week, is to really always look at opportunities to re-engage or to continue to engage your less engaged customers. And that's exactly the way I look at it. So yeah, if you've got a 30% open rate, means 70% of the customers didn't open your email, and that's an opportunity. So looking at them as either challenges or opportunities to continue to improve that. So if we know that we're solving the problem for 30% of our customers, well, now we've got a smaller base, even though it's 70%, but it's a smaller base of customers that we ultimately need to figure out how to be most relevant to. So that's just a really good baseline for starting to develop your strategy, is solve the problem for those that are not engaging in your program. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, that continues to help you come up with new ideas for the way that we're going to optimize this program over time.
I want to circle back to personalization just a little bit, because we're talking about it anyway. We're talking about how do we make these messages more relevant? How do we engage more people? How do we segment our customers to deliver a relevant message to each group? So I just wanted to back up and touch a little bit about personalization and how that's evolving over time. It's a lot more now than hello, insert first name here, comma, and then that was personalization years ago. So can you talk a little bit about how that's evolved and how, if you had a client that came to you and said, I want to start personalizing my emails, where would you even start?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to personalization, it really is all down to the data that you have. And in the comfort level that you have in your data, because the worst thing you can do is attempt to personalize something to a customer without having, you know, great confidence in the data that you have. So we typically will start there with customers and in doing a data audit and just really understand everything that we have on customers. And we're not talking about, you know, really personal information. We're talking about things that let us know a little bit about what type of customer you are. That could be engagement data on your website. It could be engagement data from your email program. Ultimately, you know, understanding a little more about a customer's engagement behavior with your program and utilizing that to make sure that you are communicating in the best way possible. But, you know, having spent the last 20 some odd years in email marketing, it really does kind of work hand in hand with where the email service providers are. So when I first started, the greatest level of personalization that we could do is exactly what you mentioned. So list their first name out. And that's always been a best practice because it just gives a more personalized approach to the communication to the customer. And it does have, you know, very positive psychological impact, even when you're only utilizing that level of info. But I always think of personalization in a few different buckets, because when you talk about personalization, you're talking about customer recommendations, you know, product data, things like that. And now that we have email service providers that utilize either real-time data injected in from your source data systems, or when you have systems that are utilizing relational data models, it really gives you the ability to do, you know, a little more from a join perspective. And when I say a join perspective, I mean matching up your customer data to your product data and to your behavioral data and all of the other systems of record that you might have are much easier to do than they once were. So really now I think of it as a best practice more that, sure, we're displaying the customer's name. We're making sure that they know that we know who they are and what they like to do. But personalization really comes in the form of sort of the old adage of right place, right time with the right message. And that could be in understanding their behavior from an engagement standpoint. So if your customers are typically only engaging on certain days of the week, or there are definitely certain days of the week that they are not engaging, using that information to make sure that you're delivering at the times that they are going to be available or the times that they are more likely to take action on your emails. But then the understanding too that, you know, we have to personalize the emails to be more relevant in general with that product data, and using that information to make sure that when we are showing products to our customers, we're showing the right product based on what they've done in the past or even what they've not done in the past. So I always think of the information that we don't have on customers as being just about as valuable as the information that we do have. Inaction is something that we can absolutely use in our email programs, and we should use it to ensure that we're delivering what they ultimately need. So a non-click can be just as important as a click, because I know that a non-click is not an expression of interest, it's the opposite. So utilizing that information that you're getting from your email service provider to make the next email much better, that is also personalization from my standpoint.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to ask you earlier what a client could do if they think that they are lacking in their data collection or the data that they already have on their customers. I know some clients will think, well, I don't have that much data on my customers. How can I possibly incorporate personalization? But as you mentioned, every email you send out, you're collecting more and more information, whether that's a click, a non-click, what they clicked on, etc. So have you seen these personalization strategies become more and more advanced over time as your email program grows?
Sure. Yeah, we've got quite a few customers that kind of fit into that bucket of not believing they have enough information on their customers. And I think, you know, the challenge there is just being creative and understanding that everything means something in the world of email. So a non-click, a non-open, you know, being not engaged gives us more information about you, you know, from an engagement perspective. if you just spin it in the right direction. So one of the strategies that we've taken with customers is, you know, look at, don't overlook site data. Site data is extremely important because typically your customers that sign up for your email program, they started on your website. So that first interaction with your brand is really important. So making sure that you can get that information for future use is really important. And a good example of that is an insurance provider that we work with. They don't have a ton of information that they might consider usable for their email program. They've got a lot of policy detail about their policies that they hold with the insurance provider, and they've got a little bit of the demographic detail. But what I find most interesting, especially when they're going through the prospecting process with those customers, is that their first interaction was on the website, and the first thing they did on the website is a good indicator of what their mindset is. So the first page that they landed on, if they're looking at specific products, me knowing that information and being able to take that information and digest it into my email service provider now gives me what the next step in that communication line should be. So if they're looking for information on a particular insurance product, but they do not hold a policy for that product yet, well, now all of a sudden I know exactly what they're interested in, or at least what type of product they're interested in. And then I can start to look at other customers who have also been interested in that, ultimately ended up buying this. So that'll give me a little more information to be able to go out with that next thing and start to upsell or cross-sell, or just even from a pure editorial standpoint, if customers went to their blog for detail about a particular type of insurance policy or a particular product, you know, that may give us an indicator that, well, they don't mind reading, you know, a little more content. So we can go out with a little more content in the email that we typically would with a general prospecting email. But then the other side of it too is just that information that you are getting directly back from your email service provider. That's good information. So a click means that there's an expression of interest on a particular item. Hopefully that click is not on the unsubscribe, but if it's on something other than that, then we know that there's an interest level there. But then the other thing that I might consider for brands that, you know, maybe struggle a little bit to get that additional detail that allows them to continue to optimize on the program, progressive profiling is a really good way to do that. So early on in a customer's process with you, when they sign up, they are now part of your email program, there is an expectation there that you know enough about me to tell me what I need to know about your brand or your products. So the important thing to note there is that they're very motivated at this point. So asking questions in the welcome series can be a really good way to start to append some additional data to your process. So we have that working with a few clients at this point, where we have, you know, real-time surveys in the initial emails that we are sending them, saying, you know, asking for a little bit of additional information, whether it's a birth date or whether it's, you know, I like this product, but I need more information, or I have no intention of buying right now, but I will in 6 months. Those sort of things can be really, really positive when you use them to influence the messaging for future messages for that particular customer. And we've talked about the psychological effect of including personalization. If they see in real time that I am utilizing information that they have just provided to make the email even smarter than it was going to be, that psychological effect kind of carries through with brand sentiment. So really, really important.
Right. That leads me into my other question on the importance of email creative. So we talked a lot about the science, the testing, the data, how to use that to improve your strategy. But can you talk a little bit more about the art side of it, where I see the email creative coming in and the importance of that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And this is another area where I think the science really comes into play. And I absolutely love creative. I mean, it's a really important part of our process, in that we're not just thinking about the what, but we're thinking of the how. So this is what we want to show customers, but it's really important that it's shown in a way that is very pleasing to the eye. And that just that's more about ensuring that your brand is carried through in just about everything you do and creating that brand sentiment and making it look like it's not a form letter. That's really important, is that, you know, it's pretty clear to customers when you get an email that you believe that everybody on their subscription list is getting the same exact email, the same exact products. You know, it's clear to me when I get an email that appears to be personalized for me, but then it's still carried through within nice looking creative and something that is pleasing to the eye. So the way that we do some measurement of these strategies is through neuroanalysis. And I believe we'll talk about neuroanalysis a little bit more, but this is where we kind of fuse the data with the creative and the art side of it. And we start to really look at things that are going to draw the customer's attention to particular areas of the email. And it's just it's a really important tool that we've started to use over the past couple of years that I just don't believe is used enough in the industry. So neuroanalysis tools are really kind of big within the retail space and in physical environments. And when you're looking at products on a shelf, you want to see if your product is going to stand out in the sea of other shampoo bottles. You can kind of think of the same way with email. If you're measuring the neuroanalysis and the more cognitive approach to the way an email is thought of or the way space is thought of when they click open or open up an email, it'll give you an idea of how related elements should be sitting next to one another on a page, and really where those pain points are of either too much information all in one particular area of the email, or are we doing the right thing and getting the customer's eye to flow in the right direction? So you really do have the ability through creative to train the customer's eye to flow in a certain direction. And I think that's really, really important, especially as you get into more personalization. Anybody can make a static email look beautiful, but taking the static email out of the equation and now having a really personalized approach to what products we are going to show to this particular customer, and also making it, you know, have a very custom, creative, and just beautiful approach, that's really where the science comes into the art side of it. And that's the part that really gets me excited.
I'd love to have you back to talk more about neuroanalysis. This seems super interesting. I know that the creative is a lot more than just, yeah, that email looks pretty. So that neuroanalysis is super interesting to me. I'd love to have you back to dive deeper into that.
Sure, I'd love to.
Awesome. So we are almost out of time for today's podcast, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to add anything else that you think we may have missed or that we didn't cover today when it comes to advancing your email strategy?
Yeah, you know, so I would say, you know, the biggest thing, you know, that you should focus on when you're starting to develop your strategy is to take it in bite-sized chunks. You know, don't try to throw everything you've got in the mix, because for one, it makes it really difficult to measure results based on, you know, knowing that we're getting every bit of custom data into a particular campaign. You ultimately want to measure the impact of individual elements in your email. We talked a little bit about multivariate testing, and I do like multivariate testing because it really allows you to sort of speed up your testing and understand what combined elements within an email are going to be the best suited for your customers and your brand. So I always like to think of it as take stock of everything that you've got access to. So look at all of your data, put a confidence level on certain pieces of information that you have on your customers, and then really start with the goals for that campaign. So if you think about a welcome series and what is the goal of that campaign, it's to create long-term value with your customers. So a lot of people will potentially look at a welcome email as an incremental revenue opportunity. And it can absolutely be that. But really what you are doing is you are making your first introduction to that customer in hopes that you are creating a very long-term successful relationship where they continue to come back for products and goods and services. So when you think of your welcome program, just be really honest about what you're thinking or what your goals are there. Same with your retention program, same with your re-engagement series and your cross-sell emails and things like that, and think of them as in silos instead of as one big program. These programs will eventually need to come together and sort of act as one full journey or customer lifecycle. But if you think about them in those individual pieces, it kind of really takes a lot of the overwhelming effect out of the process. So start small, continue to optimize along the way, but make sure that you're optimizing is in as near real time as possible. So if you have a data attribute that you're testing for a particular email and you see growth there, well then try to implement something new into that email, but just as small so that you can really measure the impact of that one item instead of a bunch of items at once and then trying to walk yourself back to figure out what's not working. So don't get overwhelmed is kind of my main point there, is take things in bite-sized chunks, build from the bottom to the top, and continue to measure results. You know, that's the biggest way that you can identify opportunities within your program.
Thank you, Jason. One other thing I wanted to ask you before we conclude this is, it seems like, you know, each year, each 6 months, a new hot marketing tactic comes out, whether it be SMS or push notifications in app. And it seems like everything is announced as the next thing that's going to kill email marketing. Can you talk a little bit about the success of it over time? I know you have 20 years experience. Is it still as successful as it was 20 years ago? Is it more successful? Are people tuning out emails from brands, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, over that 20 or so years, probably 15 of those, every single year, there was something else that came out that they called the email killer. And it was going to change the way that email has worked, or it was going to just do away with email altogether. And there's not a moment in time where I thought that was actually true. I think email has done a really good job. I think the vendors that are out there, the email service providers, and then all of the other third-party services that help you extend the capabilities of your email program have just done a really good job of making it very intelligent. And I think that's one of the things that's just really hard to compete with if you're in the social media space or SMS or another channel for communicating with your customers. They can't innovate in the same way that email can. There's nothing that really utilizes and allows you to personalize information in a broadcast medium like email can. And I think it's up to us as the marketers to figure out the right way to use it and continue to make it relevant for our customers. And be able to communicate with our customers all at once and be able to get that real-time information back that we can continue to use to optimize the program. I just don't think there's anything like that. And I think email will continue to grow. I think it's more successful than it was, even when I first started, because you have wide adoption. People aren't ready to give up their email inbox. But what they are willing to do is be a little more, or have a little more scrutiny over what they choose to engage with and sign up for. So it really is our responsibility to utilize the tools to their full effect and make sure that we are using it in the right way that services our customers. But with that said, I do think what makes a truly powerful program is that we're integrating those other services. So we have plenty of customers that have customers of their own that want to receive certain types of communication through SMS, or they want to get certain announcements through social media. But I really consider those to be more brand plays than broadcast plays. And being able to communicate lots of product in your email or lots of information in your email is what really gives it a leg up over those other mediums. So I would definitely really consider, integrating those other channels, making sure that you're speaking with a single voice as part of the brand, but listen to your customers. And if your customers want to consume certain bits of information through those other channels, then that is absolutely the right channel. And that's the important of it, is understanding email's place and then using it in the best way possible for your customers. And I do not think there's going to be an email killer anytime soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for that valuable information and for joining us again today. And I look forward to having you back soon to dive into neuroanalysis. And maybe we'll even venture out from email marketing. Who knows?
Excellent. I do appreciate it, Nicole. Thank you so much. And looking forward to the next one.
Thank you.
But to our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. And we'll see you next time on Turning Data into Dollars.